everybody, and welcome back to another episode filled with lore for your brain of the sixth world. It's your usual host, So Easy Mode, the lore regurgitator for you to digest these wonderful tidbits of knowledge. I am joined by my intrepid co-host, Austin. Austin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm just the hungriest little baby bird waiting for that sweet regurgitation right into my mouth hole.
Well, don't worry, baby bird. I'll feed you.
I'm going to slow down to make sure I don't choke with the plethora of information being bombarded upon me.
Bombarded is, that's a great way to look at it. Well, I think we're going to round out our Metroplex tour. There's only one place left that we haven't talked about, and we're going to get to it this evening. And that is one Council Island.
Woo!
Yes, appropriate woos
put
in place right there.
How many tickets does it take to win a stuffed animal at Council Island?
Well, it's not exactly a fairground. The entire island, which sits in between downtown and Bellevue in lovely Lake Washington.
Oh, okay. I was expecting it like off the coastline somewhere, but like, okay.
No, it's inside the Metroplex.
I like a good inland island, all
right.
I'm
right?
Intrigued.
But it doesn't technically belong to the Metroplex.
Oh.
Yes. So visitors to Council Island sometimes feel that they may have stepped backwards in time to a far simpler time when man lived in harmony with nature. The island's buildings are constructed from rough-hewn logs. The government officials wear hand-woven garments, and trees are everywhere. The feeling of escape is similar to a simpler time, usually lasts until you run into a bureaucrat carrying a portable computer or notice the solar collectors on the roofs of the log buildings. Or you hear the sounds of downtown, which are it's only minutes away.
But the portable computer is made out of wood. So as to fit in with our old-timey aesthetics.
You know, it's probably got one of those faux wood cases over it.
Yeah, the little snap-on wood outlook.
Even the vehicles, wood paneling on the side.
Hey, bring back wood paneling vehicles, man.
The station wagons, all wood paneling.
Growing up, one of my favorite shows, because, you know, I watched it as I was airing as an old person, as we are on this podcast.
Like you do.
Was That 70s Show. And because of that show, I wanted a station wagon so bad as like my first car.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, kind of hard to come across these days.
Yeah.
And when you do, they're usually in really bad condition.
Yeah, go figure, right?
Yeah. So
who knew?
Get rid of the mid-size SUV, bring back the station wagon. That's all I'm saying.
The family-friendly car.
Please, that's all I want. I'm a simple man.
You know, they really should just bring back the Volvo station wagon because that thing was just a tank.
I mean, I feel like most station wagons were just tanks, man. Like, you want to talk about vehicles that have incredible safety ratings? Give me a station wagon any day of the week, man.
Full steel bodies.
Yeah.
None of this aluminum stuff.
Yeah, man. Like, if we were to go into the Mad Max future, the man with the station wagon would be king, because you can't stop him.
No, his car survives every atrocity, obviously. The only thing he has to worry about are flamethrowers.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know.
Who's burning precious gasoline fuel source in the Mad Max future to operate a flamethrower easy? Come on, let's be realistic here.
I mean, that's probably a good look.
I mean, aesthetically, it looks really cool, but practically, if you're over here murdering people for gasoline, what are we doing?
You're definitely not just burning it willy-nilly style.
Yeah, unless we've got, like, the bro gang and their flamethrowers are all just cans of Axe body spray attached to, like, Zippo lighters with, like, a handheld, like, firing mechanism, then maybe. Faux hawks as far as the eye can see.
First they spritz you, then they burn you. For it is their way. Join us on this Mad Max adventure where there are no flamethrowers.
But plenty of station wagons.
Plenty of station wagons.
If you know what's good for you.
Well, even before the awakening, the large island in the middle of Lake Washington was a beautiful place. It was called Mercer Island, and the city's wealthy liked to build their palatial homes on the island's evergreen-covered hills.
So Matt Mercer made enough off that Critical Role money, he just bought a whole island, huh? All right, good for him, man. Good for him.
However, when the Treaty of Denver cedes Mercer Island to the Salish Sheed Council for use as their embassy in Seattle, they renamed the island and embarked on a very ambitious project to transform the island.
When you started mentioning the nature-ish nature of the or aesthetic, I should say, of the island itself, I was like, so this is going to be this is the Elf Island, right? In the middle of downtown Metroplex. I feel like that's what we're leading to, right? All right, well, cool.
This is the Salish embassy within the Metroplex. That's basically what this whole island is.
Gotcha.
Yeah, most of the modern buildings and roads were torn down, with the Salish Sheed buildings erected in place of the luxurious homes. Where roads once divided the island, the council nurtured forests and woodlands. Where sparrows might once have been considered exotic wildlife, now raccoons, deer, hawks, smaller creatures, and paranatural animals roam freely on the island. It does take a small army of botanists, ornithologists, and veterinarians to tend the island's wildlife, and there is a never-ending battle against air and water pollution. Good to note, there is little crime on Council Island, mainly because of the island's small population and the Salish bureaucracy thoroughness in screening visitors.
Well, and I would imagine that thirdly would be that the entire rest of the Metroplex is surrounded by Nan territory. I feel like it'd be pretty easy for them to be like, I'm sorry, what happened on Council Island?
We'll be right there.
Oh my gosh. So what I was going to say as well was the Salish Sheed being the ones on the island, I was off from it being Elf Island, but close.
You were close. Yes. I'll give you points for being close. The council strictly regulates the number of Seattleites allowed on Council Island at any one time. Visitors who have not made an appointment are turned back at the Inner City 90 exit or else put on the first ferry to Seattle. Those with reservations, but who are known members of polluting or racist organizations, are also barred admittance. Even those whose data files pass inspection must submit to a search for contraband and weapons before they can set foot on the island. Massive security roadblocks along the highway and docks are meant to stop criminals from entering disguised as tourists. Despite the risk, burglars find the homes of wealthy diplomats just too tempting to resist. To combat the problem, Chief Walter Malia and his Council Island police enforce heavy security. Even so, there was an incident in 2041, thanks to these daring go-gangs. In 2041, the Leather Devils succeeded in breaching island security and went on a rampage that left more than 50 dead before a combination of island police, Lone Star Rapid Deployment, and Metroplex Guard were able to finally drive them off. And since then, the council has constructed pillboxes on either side of the Intercity 90 exit.
Oh, fair. I guess that's one way to better regulate traffic in and out of the island.
Meanwhile, there's also an armored Metroplex Guard unit that cruises that highway.
Mm.
You know, just for extra added security.
Yeah, just in case.
As if the pillboxes at the end, either end of the bridge to enter Council Island wouldn't be enough of a deterrent.
Yeah, right. And the fact that you have one in, one out. And
Right?
That's about the best you got going for you. So good luck.
Even despite that, with the pillboxes in place, go gangs still attempt it occasionally and wreak havoc.
No risk, no reward, man. No risk.
Yeah, they don't really make it to the island anymore. It's more of a, how brave are you to see how far you can get and turn back and still be alive to tell the tale about it.
Okay.
Council Island is approximately 25 square kilometers of land rising up from the depths of Lake Washington. The only way to reach the island by automobile is via the Intercity Bridge. The other way is by ferry from various points along the shore of Lake Washington. There are only 3,000 inhabitants on Council Island. Many of those are diplomats and their families from the Salish Sheet Council and other Native American nations. The rest are the rangers and scientists who care for the island's wildlife. The only non-Native American residents are veterinarians from the University of Washington, translators, chauffeurs, and others whose services are vital to the council's functioning. So people to run like the cafeteria and stuff like that.
Right.
For the political aspect, which is the most important aspect of this entire island, John Moses, the Salish Sheet Council ambassador to Seattle, is chief of Council Island. His second is Lady Laura Drywell of the Wantashi Elf Tribe. Sidwell Tamanaus, a Salish shaman who was educated at the University of Washington, advises both on Seattle and its politics. Those who work on Council Island are divided into three groups. The first are the diplomats, who represent the Salish Sheet in negotiations with the city government and the mega corporations. Bureaucrats are the second large group on the Council Island. Their task is keeping up with the daily flood of red tape, as well as greeting and guiding visitors to the island. The rest of the island's inhabitants are foresters, biologists, and shamans. They care for and control the island's wildlife, conduct tours, and carry on research. They are also responsible for monitoring the pollutants in the air and water of Seattle to see that the city lives up to its environmental treaties with the council.
It's fair. I mean, again, Shadowrun has made me so gun-shy at this point that I'm waiting for the dubiousness, Easy. I'm waiting for the other shoe to, because so far I'm like, this place sounds really nice. This just sounds really cool. I like everything about this place so far. So I'm waiting to be distraught.
Well, we'll see what happens. Right now, there is rumors abound that Chief Moses has represented the Salish Sheet Council and the rest of the Native American nations in Seattle for years, and they believe that he should step down in favor of someone younger.
Mm.
Most of this sentiment comes from a growing militant faction in favor of the Salish Sheet becoming more forceful in its dealings with Seattle. They believe that Chief Moses's pragmatic approach to such issues as polluted council lands, illegal immigrants from the city, and intrusions by corporate militaries and Shadowrunners have weakened the council. They are particularly concerned with the rising tide of racism against elves and Native Americans in the city.
Okay, I mean, I can understand that, but also if your answer to that is, but what if we become more militaristic? I feel like that doesn't solve the problem.
That's true. There's also rumors that on Council Island, the macaw and crow diplomats are smuggling weapons onto the island to protect themselves from go gangs.
Those dang go gangs, man. Well, first they got to make it across the bridge. I don't even know what they're concerned about.
Well, it may be under, that may be what they're saying.
Ah,
if they get caught.
I see.
Why they're smuggling.
That's on paper.
Yes. One of the other reasons may be that some of the younger warriors intend to carry out operations against polluters or racist poly clubs.
I see. street justice.
Yeah, and these influx of illegal weapons are a way to help arm them.
Right, okay, I get you.
So there is a place to stay on Council Island. There is a hotel. Even though there's only 3,000 people that live and work on the island, they have a hotel. Would you like to take a stab at the name? And no, it's not a Sheraton.
If it's not a Sheraton, does it even matter, man? I can't even use my points there, dude.
Can't even. It is the Council Island Inn.
I bet it doesn't even have a complimentary continental breakfast.
I don't know. It's considered a luxury hotel, and it is 3 floors.
Oh, that is pretty nice, actually.
It's an attractive hotel set on the shore of Council Island. The inn is usually reserved for the ambassador's guests and other diplomats.
I mean, are we thinking 4-star here, or is this a 5-star establishment? What are you thinking?
This could be closer to 5, because it's to house diplomats and ambassadors.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like 4.5.
Maybe. 4.5? The hotel is a luxurious mix of glitter and natural materials. The rooms are adorned with Native American and metahuman art, most of which is priceless. Not surprisingly, hotel security is extremely tight.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say I do actually have kind of a weakness for that aesthetic. I want to say it was either last year or the year before, one of my brothers came to visit, and we went to a place up north here, and it's kind of a ritzier part of Arizona, called mm-hmm. Sedona.
Okay.
And he had rented an Airbnb that we were all staying in. It was me, him, his wife and his kid, my wife, and then my brother came up. Mm-hmm. My other brother also came up, so we were all staying together. And the place that he had gotten was built in such a way that through the middle of, so it had kind of like an open floor plan main area room. So it had like the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen were all kind of connected in like a L shape type mm-hmm. of situation. But like directly in the middle of that was a tree that was just growing through the middle of the house.
That sounds like the aesthetic you would run into on the Council Island Inn. There would be those natural.
I gotta admit, it was really cool. I was like, I walked in and I saw it and I was like, damn, nature.
Looking how about good. That?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
I see you there, nature. Look at you.
Gave it a pat. I was like, it's a good tree. What is this, birch?
who's this bird? Oh, wow. However, with security at the hotel being extremely tight, that doesn't mean thieves won't break in there.
Those dastardly thieves.
There was a report that thieves did make it into the inn at some point and stole a jade Elvis sculpture and a painting by one Sam Calmwaters.
I know you said a jade Elvis sculpture, but for a second there, I thought you said a jade Elvis sculpture, and I was like, those fiends!
How dare they steal the king?
That's a priceless antiquity of Americana!
They also absconded with a Salish ceremonial mask inlaid with gold and jewels.
See, okay, so my question about stuff like that is like, I mean, I'm assuming that the answer is just the black market, but like that's mm-hmm. that's where you would have to sell that type of stuff, right? Because
oh, yeah.
that's way too high profile and unique of an item.
Yeah, you can't just fence it to any old fence. You're having to go to like a specific art fence or something like that.
I see.
In the shadows, yeah. You'd have to go to a black market dealer that's looking to get these artifacts somewhere overseas, you know?
You gotta go to the black market Pawn Stars. They trust me, they know a guy, and they'll get him there in 10 minutes.
They do know a guy. They believe that the thieves were able to succeed in this as a secret tunnel was discovered in the basement of the inn. So you know, secret tunnel.
Was it hidden behind a poster that they noticed was flapping, although there was no breeze? In the
There's
room?
No breeze. Somebody just threw a rock through it and it makes the clack sound. Listeners, if you get that reference, 10 points to you. So because there's an inn, obviously there has to be somewhere for the people to eat that isn't just complimentary food from where you're staying.
Again, the assumed continental breakfast.
Yes, does not say that it comes included, but with it being a luxurious hotel,
4.5
I would assume, yeah, I would assume there's breakfast. But if that's not what you're looking for, then you can go to Friendship Restaurant. That's right. That's the name. It's Friendship Restaurant.
Okay. All right.
A large restaurant and bar. This wonderful family-style restaurant serves some of the finest natural foods on the Pacific coast. The credit goes, of course, to Chief Vivian Whirlwind, a wizard with trout, salmon, crab, and shellfish dishes.
Now, what do they mean when they say natural food?
I would assume stuff that is like locally sourced.
Well, also, could that just mean that it's food where the food is actually the food? Because it, like, you know, in the soy-based economy of the Shadowrun world, meat is king, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, so, yes.
So I could also see that being the thing. It's not soy-shi that she's, or some soy-shimi that she's cutting up there for you.
No, it's actual food.
Fresh catch of the day. Okay, that's fair. That's cool. Also, great name.
Right?
Yeah.
Even better, and the most amazing part about the restaurant, is that a huge meal costs you only 10 New Yen.
Well, how much per night are you staying? Are we paying to stay at the...
That's true. With how much you have to pay... the question. Yeah, with how much you have to pay to get onto the island?
For how much you have to pay to get on the to stay on the island, and for what you have to go through to get on the island, a $10 meal is like bare minimum at that point. It is appreciated, but also, you know.
Word on the street is several major restaurant corporations have attempted to lure Vivian Whirlwind to their employ from as far away as Hong Kong. She really must be a wizard with seafood.
I mean, look, they're right there, man. That fresh caught. Catch of the day is literally catch of the day in that context.
Right? The Salish Sheed has lodges that are located on the island. They have an aquaculture lodge. The Salish Sheed raises a variety of salmon and trout fingerlings that they imprint with the water from local creeks and streams. The fish are then released in hopes that they will return to spawn in the local streams in 3 or 4 years. The lodge is also responsible for monitoring the lake's health. If they catch you dumping into the lake, oh boy.
Yeah, pollution seems like the main thing that you would want to make sure that you avoid doing at all costs. And anywhere that's associated with the Salish Sheet.
Right? I wonder just how much of Lake Washington that they're allowed to kind of, like, police, I guess?
Uh-huh.
And is it just around Council Island, or is it basically the whole lake? Because it...
I mean...
It's a pretty big lake.
I would assume that they probably would be doing the whole lake.
I would assume so, too.
My other concept of that being they have to make sure that they can keep an eye on like smuggling or any like people trying to get to the island by boat to circumvent nature or, right. You know, or not nature security or things like that. So I would have to imagine that the entire lake itself would probably also be being monitored and policed by the council.
Maybe, or it might just be a joint ownership kind of deal. I mean, the island itself is completely Nan territory. It's considered Salish Sea territory. But it doesn't say that all of Lake Washington is also considered Nan territory.
That's fair. Yeah, it could just be literally the land. And like you said, it could be a joint venture between the Metroplex and Council Island for the actual lake itself.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not very clear on that regard.
Okay.
That's kind of up in the air and left to open to interpretation. I would think that it would be a joint venture type deal.
Yeah.
One of the other lodges that you'll find located on Council Island is Eagle Lodge. The council raises rare eagles, hawks, and falcons here in a huge netted aviary for eventual release into the wild. Outside the aviary are several nesting pairs of bald and golden eagles that have adopted Eagle's Lodge roof for nesting. Look at that, bringing back wildlife.
Does it have roof access? No, that's where the birds live now.
No, that's for the birds.
They have retaken the altitude.
There's no flying above the island.
Why do you think the inn is only three floors? That was the treaty that was worked out between us and the avian overlords.
Betwixt us and the birds.
And them.
Them. We don't talk about them. You have the Grand Council Lodge. This lodge is where the ambassador and his staff work. It's a very large building. No one without a pass can get by the guards at the front entrance. No one.
They're good at their job.
Hey, Chummer, just a quick aside. If you are enjoying the episode, be sure to rate it if on audio, or if you are on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe as we are trying to reach our 1,000 subs goal. You can also support us over on Patreon at patreon.com/critical_hits. Finally, if you are interested in taking your tabletop gaming to the next level, check out the episode description for an affiliate link to DriveThruRPG. So the next time you're looking to expand your library and want to help support us, drop that link in. And now, back to the show.
There is a note here from somebody that works in the Grand Lodge as somebody that, you know, goes around just cleaning up, right? Janitorial services. They said in the 8 years that they've worked on Council Island, they heard many rumors about secret passages in the Grand Council Lodge. They never believed any of it until one day they were cleaning just beyond the Grand Council room. Hearing a sound, they looked up to see Chief Moses enter the chamber from behind a hidden door that was behind his desk.
Interesting.
Secret passage directly to the chief's office. I wonder if that's so he can get in and out, if it goes directly to his home on the island.
Could be.
Or a nice escape route.
Perhaps it leads to his meeting place with the aviary overlords. Moses is simply a puppet. He's the puppet leader and still installed by the birds.
It's why the rest of the young warriors want him gone so they can lead glorious revolution.
On feathers of combat, shall we retake what is ours? Oh my god. I mean, your answer is probably the actual answer, but it could be the birds.
It could be the birds. It's like the great peacock incident of 87.
You mustn't speak of it. The files were locked.
Oh boy. It's probably just a secret passageway to get in and out quickly. Sadly, there is no bird conspiracy. They do also have a medicine lodge.
Oh.
At the center of Council Island is a wondrous clearing dedicated to a large number of totems. This is one of the most frequented areas on Council Island, visited by both the faithful and the curious. All that is asked in return for use of the medicine lodges is a small donation.
But what happens at, say, at said lodge?
Well, it's mostly like an outdoor area. I think they practice natural medicine there. So you've got your sweat lodges that are, you know, set up in this area, or medicinal healing ointments and herbs can be purchased, and natural healing from magic can also be found here.
Mm. Gotcha.
For a, small donation.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's for the good, right?
It is all for the greater good. Finally, the last lodge that you will find located on Council Island is Museum Lodge.
Oh.
It is a small but thorough museum chronicles the histories of the Pacific Northwest Native American tribes. There's, well, I guess I lied. There's technically one more lodge. They don't consider it a lodge, though. It's the Passport and Immigration. This large lodge with its maze of rooms is where the council conducts most of its business with Seattle. It is here that one can obtain passes to Council Island and immigration visas to the rest of the Nan territories.
Intake lodge?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I was trying to think of I was like, I mean, we could call it, Ellis Lodge, or that might be too on the nose though.
A little bit, maybe.
The intake lodge sounds a little bit more professional on paper.
Immigration lodge, I guess. I don't know how that sounds. Does it sound
Yeah, see
about right?
that I mean, again, it accurately describes what it does. But it's
True.
not an inviting title.
What would be a far more inviting title other than passport or immigration?
I mean, I'm still sticking with Intake Lodge. I think Intake Lodge is all right. Intake
That's
Lodge is
not
kind of
bad.
neutral. It's,
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that one would be okay. The Gateway Lodge is
Oh,
kind of
see,
cool. That's kind of
that
cool.
sounds good. Gateway
Okay.
Lodge.
The
I'm with
Gateway
that.
Lodge. All right,
Yeah.
cool. Yeah. We'll go with that one then. There you
That
go.
sounds good. I like
Free
that one.
marketing.
This is what we do here.
This is what we make dreams reality over here. I don't know if you know, this is what we do.
Bring in exactly what you requested. And of course, there are two medical clinics that are located on the island in case you don't want the natural healing that you can get from the medicine lodge.
Well, for a minimum donation.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, of course. Great, great.
You've got Council Island Hospital. It is a small but excellently run hospital that does not charge for treatment given to patients who take ill while visiting the island.
Council Island Hospital is my favorite soap opera from the 70s.
It sounds like a soap opera hospital, doesn't it? Next on Council Island Hospital.
Next week's Council Island Hospital.
Bum bum bum.
Yeah, that's I mean, hey, good on them for providing free health care as long as the bad thing happened to you while you were there.
Yes. Or if you live and work there, then obviously they'll take care of you.
That's fair. Yeah, that's true.
There are many features that set this hospital apart from the rest of the care centers in Seattle. In keeping with Elven and Native American styles, most rooms are circular, paneled with dark wood, and scented with continuously burning incense.
I mean, I'm not opposed. I'm not hearing any downsides here to this room. This sounds like a pretty good place to get some treatment.
Medical treatment here is both holistic and more current, I guess. But
Modernized.
modernized, yeah, that's the better word. It's aimed at healing both the patient's physical and mental state.
It's fair. I mean, they'll put the cast on your arm and then give it a nice wave over with some sage to make sure that the evil spirits didn't get into the broken bones. It's a good time.
Yeah, don't want to get possessed by those evil spirits.
So you don't not in the arm.
Especially Native American evil spirits. I don't know if you've ever jumped into some of their mythology.
It's awesome. It's
Oh
so cool. I'm a big fan of Native American mythology. It's real dope.
boy. Oh man. You anger some
Yeah.
of the stuff in there and it just never leaves you alone.
Yeah.
Council Island Hospital also does considerable research into the pollution-related diseases and injuries. So much so, and their expertise is so well regarded that they have specific hazmat teams set to work alongside those of Seattle. So any kind of hazardous incident that takes place within the Metroplex that would warrant the use of hazmat gear, Council Island Hospital will be contacted by the Seattle Metroplex requesting aid from their hazmat teams.
Their guys get to walk onto the scene in slow motion, putting on sunglasses while 70s classic rock plays in the background to them, is what you're telling me.
Yes, that's what I'm telling
Sick. All right.
you. They're so well regarded that corporations are always trying to entice the hospital's doctors away from the island and into the private sector. It says entice, and you know by corporation standards that that can also include kidnapping.
Yes, right, of course. Well, forceful removal. Easy, please. Come on. Kidnapping, that makes it sound bad.
Unwarranted w relocation.
Yes. Unwilling relocation.
That's
Warranted, that's a matter of perspective, but
true.
definitely unwilling relocation.
The only other place on the island to get medical care is from the South Island Clinic. And it is just a one floor clinic. So, you know, your typical walk-in is what you're dealing with.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm assuming that their guys don't get called in
No,
with the slow motion and the sunglasses.
they don't get the cool slow motion and sunglasses. It's
I see.
just a simple clinic.
I see.
Nothing spectacular about it. Yeah. I mean, especially when you have to contend with Council Island Hospital.
Again. Really good. It's a really good name.
Next time on Council Island. That's the other thing too, you have to take into account of how many spirits are also going to be patrolling the borders of Council Island and protecting it as well.
Very true. From like a spiritual and just magic-based perspective, that island's gotta be like impregnable, right?
Magically, yeah, I would imagine they're very protected. It did say that they have free roaming paracritters on the island. Who's to say they haven't trained some of them?
Very fair.
Like, what were they? The blood kites? That giant owl creature? The electric owl? Yeah. Come on. Of course, there's also hellhounds, you know. They're pretty good. They're pretty great for security purposes. And then you got the pillboxes on either way in. Well, I'm sorry, the only way in, unless you want to ride a ferry, which doesn't seem like the best way to try to sneak in.
Via the ferry? I
Yeah.
mean, if you go via ferry, do you still have to stop at Gateway Lodge?
Well, yeah, the security's gonna check you as soon as the ferry docks. Like,
Yeah, that's just as bad.
after you get off, you still have to go through like an immigration because
Right. It's technically sovereignty, a sovereign land from
it's
the rest
technically
of the Metroplex.
Nan sovereign land.
Right.
I guess you could parachute in,
I
but
mean,
it's heavily wooded now, so. And
yeah.
then you have to worry about the aviary overlords, you know?
Oh, dude, you're not getting through that. The aviary overlords won't hear about it. They will have no such thing.
They will not take this affront to their skies.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Council Island, very little talked about. I mean, there's only 3,000 people that live there.
Yeah.
It's a very small population, but still a decent piece of land, like right in the
I
middle
mean
there.
I mean the other way that you could try to go about it would be underwater approach, you know. If you had like a wetsuit, you could try to just go through
Yeah,
Lake Washington and
I guess that's true.
get
Unless
to it that way.
the fish are gonna rat you out.
Well, I mean, you know, you're entering the domain of Leviathan at that point,
But
so
it is a lake. Do lakes count as Leviathan domain?
every body of water is Leviathan Domain Easy. We've talked about this.
So when I'm taking a bath in my bathtub.
Yep, you say your prayer to Leviathan before you get in your bathtub. This is the Jaws is going to come out of your toilet water situation all over again, man.
Everybody has to be afraid of Toilet Shark. Wow. Well, I know it's definitely pretty short, but that's all I've got for Council Island, and that rounds out our whole Metroplex tour. We've talked about every single district, everything that they have to offer, what they bring, how they are connected to the rest of the Metroplex, and what their political landscape and outlook looks like, as well as what their underworld crime belly also brings to the table.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a very kind of on the surface location,
mm-hmm.
where it is exactly what it appears to be, and there's not a whole lot of depth to it. It seems like that's been outed outside of that. So,
right.
In that situation, it's kind of an open environment in terms of what you could do with it. But I was thinking that something fun from a gameplay standpoint might be like an Ocean's 11 style heist,
mm-hmm.
for a team to have to like infiltrate into the island, and then once they're there, like break into a politician's house and try to like, you know, get information off their computer or something like that.
Right. That is definitely something that could be done.
But outside of that, yeah, it's kind of also like a location that doesn't really have of enough of a variety to really offer any other type of, you know, mission implementations.
Uh-huh.
At least it feels like to me. Like, it's not a big enough location that you could really do any other types of missions other than that there. You know, there's not enough else going on to kind of warrant that type of setting for a campaign. At least not that I am thinking of. Did anything else come to mind for you, like gameplay wise, as to how you could implement it?
I mean, if you want to go the political route, obviously, mm-hmm. there's the tension between the UCOS and the NAN territories,
right?
Or the corporation kind of poking its nose around where it's not wanted. So there's always that.
There is also the hinted at inner turmoil of the NAN versus NAN conflict as well for Moses and his position.
That is true.
So you could also go that route, but...
You could go that route. There is another thing that can possibly come into play, and that's from a threats perspective in the threats book.
Uh-huh.
There is a threat, and we can dive into this later, but I'll mention it now because it fits with kind of what we're talking about. There's a threat, and it's an organization called the False Face.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
The False Face.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of a elevator pitch situation for these guys?
So just a quick synopsis.
Yeah.
They're a group of natives, uh-huh. right? And they generally come from all different tribes that work against the mega corporations.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that evil spirits brought disease and illness to the members of society, and only those with a strong enough spirit can drive them away.
So they're like naturalist anti-capitalists.
Kind of. Okay. They definitely target mega corporations a lot. They see modernized medicine as like not the true way.
Uh-huh.
I guess would be the best way to put it.
I see.
And we'll get into it even more and break it down a little bit deeper when we actually talk about the False Face and what they look like. Because there was a before, and then once the Awakening, they take on some other aspects as well.
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely very interesting. And they're also a different kind of, you know, threat that you can throw into your game that might not be expected.
For sure.
They are definitely very interesting, I will say that. You wouldn't think they'd be as much of a threat as they are, but once we talk about them, I think it'll make sense as to why.
But we'll have to get to that in a future episode.
That will be a future episode. This has been the tour of the Metroplex, and this has been us finally rounding out our tour. We've visited every spot. From visiting every spot, do you have a favorite?
Oof.
I'm putting you on the spot right now.
That is an excellent question. I don't know. I know it's kind of a cop-out answer, but I do enjoy just kind of the downtown and Barrens areas that, you know, we've gotten to encounter with Sinless and all of that fun stuff. So I definitely have a biasy there. But outside of that, I really enjoyed talking about Sahumnish way more than I thought I would. I also kind of liked what we had established with Pialup and the lava fields and all that fun stuff. As like a potential just hideout area that you could use. So I thought that one was also pretty cool. And then, you know, I mean, Bellevue's cool if you're into that kind of thing.
That's true. For myself, I'd have to say I think Fort Lewis is interesting. It's just a super small district. I mean, you got the military base there and some of the other stuff that's going on. Plus, you have the paranormals, the para animal zoo.
Yeah, that's true.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I also have to say that other than just the typical like downtown or Barrens, I am also a little bit of a fan of the Sahumnish area.
Right? Dude, I'm telling you, man. We killed it on Sahumnish.
We
man.
Really did. It was super. It was probably the most fun or the most interesting district that we've got to talk about, I think, in my humble opinion, because you've got your cattle ranchers and your farmers, and it's just that absolute stark contrast of living in a rural kind of area when so much like hyper cityism, I don't even know if that's really the right term, but you have all of that super heavy infrastructure just right there crammed into downtown with skyscrapers and everything like that, and it's all sandwiched on top of each other.
It's hyper industrialization versus what would be considered modern naturalism almost. Like the downtown area is so far into the removal of nature and the celebration of, you know, business and
neon lights
and new and, you know, like all of the just constant upward building. Whereas Sahumnish is like, Sahumnish and Shadowrun sounds like it's probably pretty similar to like the actual area, you know?
Present day.
It doesn't sound like a lot of shit. Granted, we can't talk on the grounds of the racism in the Sahumnish area in terms of how it is in regards to the modern.
Well, that's against metahumanity. So, you know, that comes from the awakening and everything.
True.
So we can't speak to that,
but also just like, you know, we had the whole thing with the Briar Hotel and just the Body Lass, which I still think is my favorite nightclub name that we've come across.
That's true. That was a good one.
So, yeah, I think that it's in that contrast that Sahumnish is kind of captivating, because you're like, it is so different from what you would expect out of a cyberpunk setting and aesthetic, that it's very enjoyable.
I've never made a character that has been from that specific district, but now I'm tempted to. And he does all or most of his work in downtown, and he's just constantly in awe at the things that he comes across because he's like this country boy, right? That's
So,
been out there and then comes
so,
into the downtown area and it's just, oh.
so Homnish sounds like the perfect starting location for our middle-aged Midwestern monster hunter that we created. He should absolutely be from the Sahomnish district. He just, he has to migrate to downtown for work.
Exactly. Well, everybody, you'll have to let us know from all of the different districts that we have talked about what have been your favorites? What are some of the highlights that we may have gone over that have really kind of stuck with you? Where would you make a character from that you wouldn't typically after hearing everything that we've had to say about all the different districts? These are all the great questions that you can ask yourself.
And then answer to us either on the Discord or Patreon. Let us know.
Please, yes, let us know. Always interested in hearing what our listeners would create or come up with. It's super great and super interesting and fun. And we hope you guys enjoy some of our random runners that we create as we do these lore drops for you. And hopefully we will continue to do so with some of these off the wall crazy runner ideas. It just depends on whatever
Woo.
strikes us at the time.
Yeah.
Well, any final thoughts for Council Island?
No, it's just it seems cool. It makes sense to be a location to exist. I think the fact that it does exist as an island is an interesting setting in and of itself. And then being able to just have, again, that contrast of the hyper-industrialization versus naturalization type of thing is also
Yeah.
just really cool. So,
I also feel like
yeah,
it gives you
cool
a good
place.
look into what other like the rest of the Nan territory would be like. Since we've never
Right.
really talked about the Salish exactly. It's always
Right.
just been, oh, it's just this Nan territory that surrounds the Seattle Metroplex.
Well, also, like, there's a lot of it, easy. There's a lot of it in Shadowrun.
There is a lot of it.
Like,
There's a lot of Nan
80% of North
territory.
America is Nan territory at this point, man.
That's
Like,
true.
they cover a lot of ground.
Again, it's something that we will probably touch on in a future episode where we talk about Nan territories.
Yes.
So we will get into those as well. So you guys will be even better equipped to understand the Nan territories if you wanted to run something in those areas. Dig up as much information as I can find and we'll put that together for you. But that is something for the future. You guys, I hope you have had fun hanging out with us here this evening and have taken some wonderful lore that I have regurgitated up for you.
Is my belly full?
Well, what would our avian overlord say?
They would be pleased. We have adopted their means of consumption. The first step in the process has been completed.
Now we share it with our young.
Yep,
All right, you guys. I hope once again you've had a good time. We've had a great time hanging out with you. But as always, we will catch you on the next one.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to Critical Hits to use such names, logos, artwork, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Critical Hits in any official capacity whatsoever.